All right, now there are five antibody subtypes. What's the first one that we just learned about? IgM. M stands for membrane because it sticks out of a naive B cell. Is it high or low quality? Low quality. But a B cell can produce it as soon as it's activated. So remember how we said the life cycle of a lymphocyte, once it gets activated, it does two things. It proliferates and then differentiates. It's a little more complicated than that. So let me draw on the board for a moment. All right, so let's say, how many B cells do we first have that gets activated? One. All right, so out of this one, we are going to get two because it splits into two. Now this is in turn going to give us four. Then we are going to get, come on, you can do it, eight. All right, now, at this point, you could just keep on doing that, right? What's going to happen, though, is these guys are going to start producing IgM. These guys are going to continue on doing their proliferation and differentiation. So that way, you actually have some antibody, even though it's low quality, some is better than none, right? You're going to have some antibody being produced very early while the rest of it makes better. Does that sound like a good idea to you? Or does it sound like a good idea to just have no antibody until you got the good stuff? Which one sounds better to you? Have some up front, and that's why your body does it this way. Does this make sense to you? Okay. So IgM is the very first one produced. IgD, we don't know what the heck it does. So something you don't have to remember. IgA forms dimers, and it is its purpose is to cross barriers. It will cross into the placenta, into mother's milk, and into tears. So it helps reduce bacterial infections in the eye, in the baby in the womb, and in the breastfeeding infant. Not sure about that. Now, IgG is the main fighting force antibody, the one that does most of the work in your body. It is a very good opsonin, and it helps macrophages kill. And then we have IgE. IgE fits into eosinophils. And then the moment it finds its antibody, that eosinophil just starts degranulating like crazy. Highly associated with allergies. IgE and eosinophils together are associated with allergies. But they also kill parasites and allergies. Well, also kill parasites. Allergies just kill you. All right, now T lymphocytes. Now T lymphocytes during childhood is when these really mature. So by the time you're about 12, you pretty much have most of the T cells you're ever going to have. You can develop a few more, but you're pretty much done at that point. What part of your body do they develop in? Thymus, thymus, T cells. The T cell receptor mutates during childhood into all possible different combinations. And then they undergo what you call tolerance testing. So it'll show it an antigen that comes from your own body that it should not attack. If it attacks it, they kill it. If it doesn't attack it, it gets to live. Because then it means it's not against your own body. Does that make sense? Because what we don't want is T cells running around attacking your own body, do we? That would be bad. So that's the purpose of this tolerance testing. Now, if they're marked by CD8, they become K killer T cells. If they are CD4, they become helper T cells. Now, CD8 binds to major histocompatibility complex 1. Did we talk about that yesterday? I seem to recall talking about that yesterday. Yeah, I think I showed you a picture of it. What's its purpose? I bet you I'll find the slide before you guys answer. So, its purpose is to display antigens on the cell surface. Now, as it turns out, every single cell in your body that has a nucleus produces major histocompatibility 1. Now, major histocompatibility 1 is used by every cell in your body to display antigens that it's producing. So if a virus takes over a cell, guess what's going to be displayed on the surface of that cell? The viral antigens. So it's kind of like if you have a ship, it holds up a flag of the country it's from. Now imagine that pirates take over the ship. What do they hoist up? The Jolly Roger. So the Jolly Roger in that case, or the flag, is the antigen. As long as it's a good antigen, but the moment kill it. But the moment it becomes a pirate, a virus, it starts showing the virus flags or antigens, and then a T cell knows, hey, I should kill this cell. It's gone to the dark side. Does that make sense to you? It should, hopefully. Now, CD4 binds to major histocompatibility 2. Now, major histocompatibility 2 is only found on other white blood cells. Now, why do you think that it would bind to other white blood cells? What's the name of CD4 cells? Helper. So why would it bind to other white blood cells? To help them. Yeah. So it's through binding to those CD4. The CD4 binding the major histocompatibility 2 is what allows it to communicate to other white blood cells and direct them and tell them what to do. All right, so cytotoxic or killer T cells kill virally infected cells that present viral antigens on their MHC1. The cytotoxic cell just injects an agent into it that tells it to kill itself. It doesn't actually do the killing. It just tells it to commit suicide. So how many of you have ever seen like Japanese Yakuza or Samurai movies? Yeah, it commits harakiri or seppuku. Now, helper cells will direct B cells to mature and macrophages to attack better. Now, helper 1 cells are better at macrophages, helper 2 are better at B cells. But they can both do the other job, they're just not as good at it. All right, a little picture here. This is a diagram of lymphoid tissue. So, this is the thymus gland. This is a bone. Now, where do T and B cells grow up? Bone and thymus. Because they come from the bone and thymus, those lymphoid tissues are called primary, because that's where they come from. It's where we first see them. Now, where they work and live and play is in lymph nodes and lymph-like tissue that comes through your body. So in your adenoids, which are back up in here, your tonsils, the back of your throat, the actual lymph nodes throughout your body, and then what we call associated lymphoid tissues. And you have them everywhere that you have exposed surface, exposed epithelial cells. So in your gut, in your lungs, in your urine, in your butt. Looks like we have to hang on for a second.
In about 20 minutes, we're testing the fire alarms for about 45 minutes. going to be intermittently. How long is the class going to be?
Another hour. Could we wait an hour? All right.
Any other classes going on?
Not in here. Yeah, and then we'll start up again at noon.
So, like, gateway?
Between 11 and 12 would be perfect.
It's also chapel, so we'll be out of here.
All right. So, if you have associated lymphoid tissue in your gut, we call it gut associated lymphoid tissue. Yes, or GALT for short. If it's in your bronchi, we call it BALT or bronchial associated lymphoid tissue. Gosh, whoever named these was so original. But just so you know, anywhere in your body where you have an opening, you have associated lymphoid tissues. So you have T cells and B cells that can float around through those ready to attack anything. Oh yes, and then we have one last organ, the spleen. The spleen, lymph nodes, their job is to filter what kind of tissue? What do we say the lymph did? It drained away what kind of tissue or what kind of fluid? Interstitial. So it's filtering fluid that came from tissue. What does the spleen filter? Blood. So lymph tissue filters tissue fluid, interstitial fluid, and the spleen filters blood. All right, now let's talk about some chemicals. Complement cascade. That's a very nice dress you're wearing today. No? No? That's a nice t-shirt? No? Oh, it's complement with an E, not complement with an I. What does complement with an E mean? You complete me. Yes, it's something that helps something else be more complete. So in the complement cascade, what it's complementing, what it's completing, is the immune system process. So it consists of nine, how many? Nine enzymes that float around in your blood in the form of zymogens, which means that they are inactive. So they have to Wonder Twin powers activate before they'll work. Now, there's three activation pathways. We'll talk about how that gets started in a moment, but let's talk about the ending first, because that's fun. So they all end with C3A being converted, or C3 converted into C3A and C3B. So one end and the other end. One end floats off into the blood and helps what happen? Inflammation. The other one binds to the antigen. All right, then the C3 turns C5 into C5A and C5B, same thing happens. Then C3B and C5B together activate what's called the membrane attack complex, or MAC. Say, membrane attack complex. Membrane attack complex. Now, what does every cell have surrounding it? A cell membrane. What happens if we puncture said membrane? What will come out of it? The guts. Okay, so the membrane attack complex is going to poke a hole. It's going to stab the cell membrane, popping it, killing it. Now, C3A and C5A, which are the little caps that come off of the zymogen, those float into the blood and cause inflammation. All right, so here is a diagram, because pictures are better than words sometimes. So here you have the little guys floating around. C5B combines with C6 and C7, and they stick to the pathogen. Then C8 comes along and actually stabs into it. And then we have C9 forming a ring or a pore. And once it's complete, it allows the guts to leak out. And here's a picture of one actually stuck into a pathogen. Yes, ma'am.
Are we talking about C4s?
No. Nope. C4 is earlier in the cascade. They were named in the order they were discovered, not in the order they work necessarily. All right. Any questions about this little process? What's this guy called? No. What's this whole thing called? The membrane attack complex, or MAC. Get your MAC on. It MACs on the cell membrane. However you can remember it, I don't care. All right, now let's talk about how we get activated in the first place. There are three, count them, three pathways. The first pathway is called the classic pathway, and it involves C1. Sometimes you'll hear it C1Q. Q is just the receptor part of C1. So C1 combined to three things. How many?
Three.
First one is an antibody that is attached to an antigen. So remember what we said one of the functions of antibodies were? What was the fourth purpose of an antibody? Activate complement. So how does it do it? By allowing C1 to bind. So it combines to an antibody antigen complex. When you stick an antigen and an antibody together, we call that an antigen-antibody complex. The second thing it combined to is C-reactive protein, or CRP. It's a protein released by your liver during inflammation that can stick to some bacteria. And then the third thing it combined to is some pathogens directly. So the classical pathway has three things it combined to. What are the three things? All right, so antibody-antigen complex, C-reactive protein, and some pathogens directly. The second pathway is what we call the mannose-binding lectin pathway. Now, a lot of bacteria produce mannose on their surface. It's a little sugar that your body doesn't produce naturally. So during inflammation, your liver will produce a protein called mannose-binding lectin. And it will stick to those mannose-producing bacteria, and then complement can stick to that. The third pathway is called the alternative or spontaneous pathway, because it's kind of like an accident. The complement just goes poof and explodes without being stuck to something in the first place. How many pathways are there?
Three.
What's the first one? Classic. What's the second one? Mannose binding. What's the third one? Alternative or spontaneous. So what are the two big things you need to know about complement? What's its ultimate purpose? To kill bacteria. And how does it do it? Through the MAC, better known as the membrane attack complex. Now, how does it get started?
Three pathways.
Classical, which is when C1 binds to something. What are those three somethings? Oh, come on. You're losing it here. All right, let's try everyone together. There's how many pathways?
Three.
What's the first one? Classical. How do we know it's classical? C what? C1 binds to either antigen antibody, mannose-binding lectin, CRP, or pathogen directly. The second pathway is mannose-binding. And the third pathway is? Okay. CRP, C-reactive protein. It's a protein that your liver produces during inflammation that can stick to phosphocholine, which is another another molecule that some bacteria produce. All right. Those are the two big things that you need to remember about the complement cascade. I probably won't ask you how many enzymes are there, but I will most definitely ask you, how does it get started and what does it do and how does it do it? All right, so complement will kill pathogens directly. It also serves as an opsonin. What's an opsonin again? It's when it marks the pathogen and tells other white blood cells, hey, come eat this. And then finally, it mediates inflammation. All right, let's take a break there. Okay. Basic